宝宝，
Your client has been through a number of these treatment programs in the past, and the results have been less than spectacular. Miss Bracknell is in need of stability. I'm therefore ordering an urgent report into the suitability of her mother's house for a sentence of 8 months home detention.
Gosh, that's high tech, isn't it? Aren't you lucky, Kylie, having all that fancy technology on your foot?
Nice being back home.
Some things have happened since I've been here. Things I can't explain.
I'm not the only one who thought there was a ghost in this house, Kylie.
What are you going to do against a hostile spirit?
I'm going to smash it in the face.
When you put an overactive mind in an inactive environment, there's bound to be complications.
I don't need a counselling session, I just need to get out.
Oh, no, they've been doing this all week. Hold on.
The restless spirit that lives in this house, what is your business here?
So, are you happy to proceed with the story that Mr. McRandall was attacked by a vengeful ghost?
Yes.
Righto.
Hey, everybody. Just a quick note, a little bit of housekeeping before the rest of the podcast picks up. We experienced some major technical difficulties in trying to get this episode recorded. Phone glitches, Google Hangout acting up, etc., etc. However, this episode is finally complete, and it is a labor of love.
Join the show, everyone!
Where you going, Rudy?
I'm in the goddamn club, aren't I?
I'll wait for you to come. I've been here all along. Now that you've arrived, stay a while, and I promise I won't keep you long. I'll keep you for another minute.
Welcome to Reddit Horror Club 2, Dead by Dawn. This week we're covering Housebound, and we've got our buddy Cannon here.
I'm Cannon, and I've been listening to the Reddit Horror Club podcast since almost the very beginning, and I'm a technology writer, and I post on the forums as Smeonek.
And obviously I'm Justin, and we're, as always, I'm joined by
Anna, otherwise known as Discreetly Red.
So, I think we'll just go right into, because it worked well last week when we talked to Matt, we'll go right into asking Cannon, why did you pick Housebound?
And now our feature presentation.
I have this theory that that Matt, Adam, and Scott, I think they like films that aren't really scary. So I was just looking at all their picks, and none of them are really scary films. And I wanted to impress them this week, so I picked a film that wasn't really scary, but that is generally well received amongst 13-year-olds and people who aren't really into films that are all that terrifying.
For anyone unfamiliar with the Horror Movie Night podcast, they should go check that out. Those are our former hosts from the Reddit Horror Club, and those are who Cannon's referring to right here. Check out their theme song right about now as we take a short break from the discussion to listen to Scott Roger play some metal. We're all big fans of the Horror Movie Night podcast, and Canon catered to these previous hosts of Reddit Horror Club with this pick. Though, this week, they cover People Under the Stairs, and I was confused that they didn't like it.
And I listened to it, like, pretty much immediately, just because I happened to be driving around that day, and they covered People Under the Stairs, which I would have assumed would have been their kind of movie based on our discussion here today. And they were not fans. And I was kind of disappointed.
Hmm.
I love that movie.
So. Yeah, that's a great, that was like one of the great movies of the early 90s. That was like, that was like legit terrifying. If I remember correctly, there was a gimp, right? There's a guy that was wearing all leather. And I imagine that Matt is really into that. But I'm kind of sad that it turns out he wasn't.
Perhaps People Under the Stairs was actually too scary for them, as Cannon seemed to insinuate. But as to Housebound...
And I'm reasonably certain that they're going to love this movie. And that's why and that's why I picked Housebound.
Because they're like girls who don't like horror movies?
I realize that. They're not really horror fans. They're more I would say that they're more into fun horror movies and not scary horror movies. So this one's for you guys, and I hope you like it. And they can go ahead and send me a personal message thanking me for picking this one.
I'm sure you will receive multiple personal messages from them. Maybe thank you. I'm not really sure if that's exactly what they'll do.
I think we're gonna like this one.
Had you seen this movie a few times prior, or just once before, or?
I saw it once before, to me, it's like a solid 80. It's like a 80 out of 100. It's a B minus. It's very good. It's well shot. It has all of the framework of a really good horror movie. It's just completely not scary. This is a PG-13 movie at best. Or at worst, I'm not sure, it's entertaining the whole way through. The reception for it was absolutely ridiculous on Rotten Tomatoes. It has an aggregate score of 97%, which means it's considered one of the greatest horror movies of all time. I totally disagree with that. Metacritic, which is far more critical of films, rates it as a 76%, which I feel that's about right. Metacritic is generally it's harder on really good films, and if a movie's kind of soft and appeals to everyone, then in general those do better on Metacritic. Metacritic is not all that great. An indicator of whether or not a film is good, but in this case, I think it's accurate. I'm pretty sure Matt, Scott, and Adam are just totally going to blow their wad on this one. I guarantee you that.
Anna, what do you think of the film?
I loved this movie. Absolutely loved it. It was funny, suspenseful. There were genuine moments that were, you know, like good jump scares, and there was good gore. Yeah, like the Teddy Ruxpin. That's a good jump scare.
Yeah. The only gore is the very end, right?
Yeah, when Eugene blows up the killer's head.
Here's another one of those moments where the flow's a little choppy, as our recording struggled at times. But Cannon did give us a nice summation, a la the way Matt does, or did, on the old Reddit Horror Club podcast, and kind of does now on Horror Movie Night.
Yeah, let's hear it. What do you got for us, Cannon, in your St. Moritz style?
Okay. I don't think I can sound that self-flating, but I'm gonna try. I'm joking. He's a fantastic podcaster.
Matt is a very you have a very good sense of humor, so he'll appreciate that.
Okay. I didn't actually mean that.
I think you.
I did not mean it. So this is straight up cribbed from Wikipedia. this is me really trying to channel the ghoulish spirit of St. Mort. So the story starts off with Kylie, the protagonist of the story, who tries to steal money from an ATM with her boyfriend. And I assume they're heroin addicts or meth. It's one of the two.
I think it's always one of the two.
Okay, yeah, because they have the dark shadows under the eyes, right? And then they look really, really laid back and cool. They call it heroin chic.
Tweak out a little more on meth, I think. You know, in my experience of seeing, I've never been on it.
Okay. Well, you would know better than anyone. So it's wonderful getting expert opinion.
A lot of drugs, so.
Fantastic. Yeah. So everything goes horribly wrong, and they're arrested by the police. And because of prior offenses, Kylie is sentenced to house arrest for 8 months under the care of her mother, Miriam. Kylie does not get along with either her mother or her stepfather, Graham. And Kylie is also monitored by a security contractor, Amos, who explains that Kylie's ankle monitor will alert the police if she ever leaves the premises of her mother's house. Miriam reveals that the house is haunted over a phone call to a radio show, and Kylie remains unconvinced until she is attacked by a teddy bear while in the shower. Dennis, a clinical psychologist assigned to Kylie, believes the mother and daughter to be delusional, and Amos, the security contractor, remains skeptical until Graham reveals that the home was once a halfway house and the site of a horrific murder. And the presence of the ghost is seemingly confirmed when Dennis is assaulted by following a blackout, and there's a dental retainer that's discovered in the basement. And Amos and Kylie suspect that a neighbor is the murderer, and they sneak in the house to collect evidence. The neighbor says that he is not the killer, and he tells the story of a savant, Eugene, whom he adopted. And Eugene is apparently an expert in mechanics and electronics, and that kind of explains all the other odd occurrences. Kylie then discovers and searches for a secret passageway to the house, is attacked by the vagrant, who we assume is Eugene, and the police can find no trace of the tunnel, and Dennis, who wears a retainer, recommends that Kylie be institutionalized. And after discovering Dennis worked at the halfway house where the murders occurred, it turns out that Dennis is actually a murderous psychopath, and I have some issue with that, responsible for the earlier murder. And it's also why he was attacked by Eugene. We assume that Eugene was a witness. Dennis is eventually electro-exploded to death by Kylie. And then months later, after everyone has recovered, Amos finally removes Kylie's ankle monitor, and Eugene has seemingly become an accepted member of the household. And so that's basically the summary of the story. And I didn't steal it word from word from Wikipedia, so I kind of cheated. So my problem with this story is the way they portray Dennis. So he does not strike me as a psychopath, because he seems like a really friendly and kind old man, and he seems to display signs of empathy, like he seems to care about what happens to Kylie, and it just seemed kind of out of character for the guy to snap all of a sudden and just start cleaving cops left and right. And I kind of wonder about whether or not he actually had the physical strength to do that.
That's so, a really fair question, whether or not he had the strength. I definitely think, you know, we briefly talked for a few minutes before we started about psychopathy. And like I said, I work in the Department of Corrections, so I'm a little bit familiar with what a psychopath looks like. Of course, they all look different. But I would say some psychopaths strike you as very friendly, but it's because they're master manipulators. I don't think, though, the way he's depicted really depicts him as a strong enough manipulator that he's a true psychopath. So I could see why you would question the realism of him as that kind of character. Although, you know, there's really no one right answer, obviously. There are people who just snap, but I do agree with you that he doesn't look like he necessarily would have the physical strength to pull off some of what he did.
What about the superhuman endurance? Like, you know, someone hits me with a vase over the head one time and I'm down. I'm out. It seems like Graham can just, like, he can take punishment like no one's business. Like a pro boxer, like people are stabbing him, smashing things over his head, and he's just relentless. You have to actually blow the guy's head up to stop him. Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, although I would say, you know, maybe that's obviously part of the intention of making it comedy horror is to so over the top, you know, kind of making fun of that slasher trope where slasher the villain or the monster or the slasher is beat to all hell and still survives through everything. I mean, I always felt that way when I watched Scream, which is obviously intentionally meta in that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's definitely like making fun of the unkillable killer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't get that.
Well, it is Kiwi humor, you know, those folks down under are a little bit drier than us Americans, so maybe it's harder for us to get their humor sometimes.
Did you notice that it was shot almost exactly like a Peter Jackson film?
It did feel a lot like, especially like some of his old, you know, his pre-uber-fantastical stuff, you know, when he was more grounded in reality, or a little bit more in reality. He's never been that grounded in reality, but I feel like there's been a recent wave of good, especially comedic and chuckle-worthy horror films from, you know, New Zealand and Australia and that region in the last few years, actually, and this is definitely one of them.
Have either of y'all watched What We Do in the Shadows?
Oh, I have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fantastic. Oh, that was fantastic, yeah.
That's a great example of that.
So, Anna, you said you really love this movie. You know, what about it just really blew you away?
Well, like I was saying earlier, it was, like, I found, you know, there were definite moments that were suspenseful, but it still held on to the comedic moments. And, you know, and there were, you know, good jump scares, like the Teddy Ruxpin, or, you know, like that moment where she's reaching inside his mouth to get that retainer out, I was, you know, on the edge of my seat because you know he was going to wake up.
Is there anything about the film that any of us specifically didn't like that maybe they could have done better or just really didn't resonate? I guess you talked about not feeling like, God, I just went blank on his name, the killer. Feels like he is actually a killer.
You mean the red herring killer, Eugene?
Yes, the red herring killer. No, not the red herring killer.
Dennis.
He definitely feels like a killer. Dennis, thanks. I just wanted to know the name for a second.
Dennis is such a psychopath name. It's every Dennis I know is a psychopath.
Would you say that every Dennis you know is a menace? That was a really bad pun. All right.
No. This is a good pun. It was a dad pun.
Well, I am a dad, so I guess that works.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, you're there, man. That's cool. aside from this, because I don't know, like usually the suspense films, when it turns out that the least likely person is actually the killer, like the old grandma, and then, it also turns out that grandma has superhuman strength and endurance. It's kind of silly to me. Now that you pointed out, I realize it's satire, but I think they could have polished that a little bit more.
That's fair.
And also, he's wearing a partial. Is it a partial or a retainer?
It looks like a partial to me.
Yeah, they refer to it as a retainer. Okay. Usually you lose your teeth as like when you get older, but when they first found the retainer, they found it at the time that he had committed the murders, and that was sometime it was like 40 years earlier. So what was a young guy doing wearing a partial? I don't know that.
I went to school with a guy who got half his teeth knocked out, and that's why he had one.
Okay.
That was in, like, elementary school.
And psychopaths are probably getting in a lot of fights. Okay, that makes sense. I withdraw my complaint.
Okay, fair. Is there anything that stood out to you, Anna, that you would have done better, or you really just liked the way they did everything?
I think it ended up well, but I will say this. Is it just me, and I don't know how they do it down in New Zealand, but for what she did, like her crime, like if this was in America, she would have been in jail. There would have been no house arrest.
Yeah, agreed. I think that our system here is different than in a lot of other countries.
Definitely.
They kind of made a point of that, though. They kept pointing out that she was getting away with just all kinds of ludicrous behavior. It was like a recurring joke almost.
Yeah.
So, what did the team think about the movie as a whole? Stash or trash?
I thought Housebound was a really good movie. It has great acting, a great plot, and it looks and feels a lot like a Peter Jackson film. My only problem is that it's not all that scary, so for me it's like an 8 out of 10. So I definitely stash it.
And Anna and I agreed that we would stash this movie. So it's a 3 for 3 stash. And with that, I leave you on this fine episode. Thanks for bearing with our technical difficulties. We promise we will continue to work on those. Thank you to Canon for joining us. And check out Anna and myself on farsightedblog.com, including her brand new pieces, columns, that'll be coming out this week or next, and just all different types of stuff we have on those sites. And that's really about it for anything that we had to plug today. So come on back, check out Horror Movie Night as well. And thanks to the hosts of that for being good sports, despite the fact that they didn't know we were talking about them. I hope you enjoyed the song by Scott. That is their theme song for Horror Movie Night. And hopefully we'll be having the other folks from Horror Movie Night, Scott and Adam, on future episodes, as well as all the other people who select movies in the Reddit Horror Club. Make sure you get over to Reddit r/horror. Club, not horror, but horror club. Our horror is also a subreddit, much larger, but they're, you know, not as cool as us. And just go ahead and contribute in the conversation, and you can select a movie next round too, and come talk to us and make this podcast better and better each week. I still haven't come up with a clever sign-off line, so see you next week. And here's a song to close you out.
The wrong. sits there and stares at me, and it won't let me get any sleep. I got a monster in my closet. Someone's underneath my bed. The wind's knocking at my window. I kill it, but it's already dead. At first I was scared when I looked at his eyes, but now that I know him, I'm not that surprised. I'm just waiting on the sun to rise. Oh, how I wish that old sun would rise. I got a monster in my closet. Someone's underneath my bed. The wind's knocking at my window. I kill it, but it's already dead. Some good head.